cost me $300!
Would you shut up about the car?
Hey, and another thing, how do you know where I live?
Let's just say we're related, Biff. And that being the case, I got a little present for you. Something that'll make you rich. You want to be rich, don't you?
Oh, yeah, sure, right. That's rich. You're gonna make me rich?
You see, this book? This book tells the future. It tells the results of every major sports event till the end of the century. Football, baseball, horse races, boxing. The information in here is worth millions, and I'm giving it to you.
Well, that's very nice. Thank you very much. Now, why don't you make like a tree and get out of here?
All you gotta do is bet on the winner, and you'll never lose.
All you gotta do is bet on the winner, and you'll never lose. Would you like to know the future? Would you like to know what's going to happen next in your life? You could make a lot of money if you knew the future. Right now, we have a sports betting scandal in Major League Baseball and the NBA, and people trying to predict things, people trying to make things happen a certain way, and they're getting in trouble for it. But would you like to know the future? Would you like to know what's going to happen tomorrow? If you're young, would you like to know who you're going to marry? If you're middle-aged, would you like to know how your kids turn out? Would you like to know, like, when you're going to retire, what retirement's going to be like? Wouldn't you like to know when you die? How much time you got left? Would you like to know all of that? The way we face the future changes. I remember a long time ago when I was a little kid, I was excited about the future. It was like, yay, the future is going to be wonderful. And now I'm a little bit older, and it's not quite so exciting. It's like, what's the future going to be like? Yikes, right? So if there's a continuum between the future is yay and the future is yikes, where would you put yourself on that continuum? What's your perspective about the future and the things that you think may happen in your life? What do you wish you knew about the future in greater detail? This morning, the Apostle Paul is going to talk about two paradoxical aspects of the future. And as we read this passage, see if you can hear the paradox in this passage. Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 21. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. Notice what Paul says to the Ephesian elders about the future. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem. Follow God with certainty. That's what Paul did. Follow God with certainty. That issue was completely settled with Paul. There were no ifs, ands, or buts. God let Paul know that he needed to go to Jerusalem, and that's what he was going to do, period. Paul was driven and focused before he came to Jesus, and he was driven and focused after he came to Jesus. He was all in. So, let me ask you, how are you doing at staying on track? You know God put you here to do this, and this is what you're going to do. How good are you at staying on track? What are the things that tend to get you off track? Are there people? You know when this person walks in the room, oh man, here goes my plan for the day. Or maybe it's an app that you struggle with. Or maybe it's a time of day, middle of the afternoon, things go haywire. Now, the reason I'm mentioning those is not because I want to beat you up. The reason I'm mentioning those is because I want them to be like the poster at the post office. Do they still put wanted posters up in the post office like they used to? But it's like a bolo. Do you know what a bolo is? Be on the lookout. Be on the lookout. So when you see one of these things in your life, you know where your weakness is in your life, and you see that in your life, and you go, whoa, 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 whoa. I know this is a struggle for me. I have to watch out, because these things can take me in a direction that I shouldn't be going. So be on the lookout for those things in your life. During my teenage years, every summer I went to camp, 6 years in a row. Every summer I made a commitment for Jesus. Every fall, at some point in that fall, I walked away from that commitment. That was very frustrating for me. It was also frustrating for my friends, because I didn't have that consistency, and I would fall away, and I was disgusted with myself. And so the January after I graduated from high school, that January, after I'd recommitted my life to the Lord, I did something different. I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but I got a Bible and I started reading it every day. Have you ever heard of that? That made all the difference in the world. Then I could have some consistency in my life. That's the tool. If you want to follow God with certainty, the tool you need is God's Word. That will help you follow God. Read the Bible every day and ask God as you're reading it. Don't just read it, but ask God, God, speak to me through your Word. What are you trying to say to me? What do I need to change in my life? Psalm 119, 105, your Word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. We need lights. Just this morning, I got up earlier than I wanted to, and I was making my way through the house, and I thought, I better get my flashlight out on my phone so I don't trip over something and wake up my wife. We need lights to guide us. God says, I've given you a light, and that's my word. So to follow God with certainty, we need His Word. So there's certainty. Here's the other half of that. Paul also said in that, not knowing what will happen to me there. We also at the same time need to embrace uncertainty. Embrace uncertainty. That's hard to do. Embrace uncertainty. That's like saying, be excited that you don't know what's going to happen next. And that's a part of life. We tend to think that's negative, but it can also be positive. I told you about the January after high school when I dedicated my life to the Lord and started reading my Bible. Within 2 weeks of that, I had no idea that this was going to happen. Within 2 weeks of me doing that, somebody set me up on a blind date and I met my wife. And to this day, I wonder, had I not made that decision when I won, how my life would be different. But God, I never dated much in high school, but God provided a wife when I submitted to Him and started following Him. Now, if we took a vote this morning and say, how many of you are excited about uncertainty in your life? How many of you would raise your hand? I'm excited about uncertainty. But if we said, how many of you are excited about knowing what will happen next? All kinds of hands would go up, right? Because we want to know, well, what's going to happen? Have you ever noticed all the movies and TV shows about knowing the future and time travel? Why are we fascinated with time travel? The reason we're fascinated with it is because the essence of being God, God is here in this moment, right? And God's at 20 years from now, and God's at 40 years ago. Now, that may just blow your brain, and you won't be able to think anymore for the rest of the day. But that's God. God is not bound by time, and our fascination with time travel is to be like God. Oh, if I could do that, we could go to the future, we could go to the past. But God has restricted us from that. We don't have that ability. So we like certainty, but I want to remind you something. What is it? What do they do at an end of a TV show? You know, the show ends for the summer, right? What do they do to keep you coming back in the fall? There's a cliffhanger. Here's one from a bunch of years ago. Who shot JR? You remember that? Who shot JR? And so everybody tuned in the fall. Because what? We were all uncertain. We didn't know what was going to happen next. Who did it, right? It's the uncertainty that makes life interesting. It's the uncertainty in life that makes it fun, because we don't know what's going to happen next. Imagine the difficulties you've been through, right? Think of some of the worst things you've been through, okay? Now, back up and say, would you like to know about that a month of it in advance? And go, then you could worry for a whole month about what's going to happen. Would you like to know about that? I wouldn't. Embrace uncertainty. And to do that, we need a tool. We need a tool. And that tool is God's promises. And here are some examples of God's promises. I checked online. People say there's somewhere between 7,000 and 8,000 promises in God's Word. I didn't count them. I know there's a lot. But here's three. Matthew 6, 33 and 34. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. In the end of Matthew 28, 20, Jesus said, and surely I am with you 75% of the time. 82%, no, I am with you always, always. Can you face uncertainty with Jesus right with you? Yes, yes. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard. The word there is like a soldier. Will guard. The peace of God will be like a soldier around your mind, guarding your minds. Guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Charles Spurgeon said this, God is too good to be unkind. He is too wise to be mistaken. And when we can't trace His hand, when we can't see Him in the things that are going on, when it feels like God's a million miles away, when we cannot trace His hand, we must trust His heart. It's God's promises that help us to embrace the uncertain. to lean heavily on God's promises for stability in unstable times. So what does this really look like in life? Acts 16, we see this as it works its way out in Paul's ministry. Verse 6 of Acts 16. Next day, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. So there's uncertainty. Then, coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north into the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus wouldn't allow them to go there. More uncertainty. So instead, we went through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. Has that ever happened to you? Do you hear what's going on? Well, they tried to go this way. Nope. Oh, so we're going to go this way. Nope. So we're going to go this way. Nope. Have you ever had a season in life that was like that? Just closed door after closed door after closed door. I've been there. And you try everything. And you don't know. God says, do what? To find him. What do we do to find God? Seek me and you will find me. And that's what they were doing. They were seeking and seeking and seeking. So what did he do? Keep reading. That night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there, pleading with them, come over to Macedonia and help us. So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. So that's what they did. Check all these different avenues, and then God goes, Here's the way I want you to go. I want you to go to Macedonia. So they went to a town, a city in Macedonia called Philippi. And in Philippi, they went to a place of prayer. It was down by the river, and people would gather there to pray. And so Paul met with them there, and he shared with them about Jesus. And people began believing in Jesus in that city. And so he had a ministry there in Philippi, and after some time, there was this servant girl, and a guy was making money because she had a demon, and through that demon, she could predict the future. Excuse me. She could predict the future, and she was making a lot of money for her master, but Paul cast the demon out of her. Now, how much was her master going to make? Nothing. And so they started this riot in Philippi, which landed Paul and his companions in jail. Maybe I want to ask, I was going to say, how many of you have been to jail? But I won't. I've been to jail. They let me right back out too, but you know. So they were in jail. This doesn't sound right. I'm just going to warn you. This doesn't make any, what we're going to read doesn't make any sense. Okay? Verse 25. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. What? They were wrongly thrown into jail. And they're singing praises to God. Are you kidding me? Really? That's what they were doing. What happened when they did that? Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. Now, I can't, in my mechanical brain, I'm trying to figure it out. how that kind of shaking would cause all the chains to fall off, but they did. So all the prisoners were free to go. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. A jailer had a tough job. The jailer's job was to keep everybody in jail with his life. And so, if the prisoners escaped, he would be killed. That was the penalty for letting someone escape. Well, the Romans can be a little cruel when they put people to death. So the jailer thought, I don't want to fall into the hand of the Romans. I'm just going to kill myself. Okay? That's his situation. But Paul shouted to him, stop! Don't kill yourself. We are all here. Again, that makes no sense. You're in jail. Your chains fall off. Where do you go? Anywhere that's not jail, right? They stayed right there. The jailer called for lights. Why? Because he couldn't believe it. And he ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked them, what's his question? Where did the earthquake come from? What's his question? Why were you singing? No. What was his question? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? He said, there is something different in you that you can sing when you're in prison, that when you sing and pray, that God answers by sending an earthquake. And then when you're freed, you stay where you are. There is something different about you, and I want that thing you have. I want to be like you. That's what happened. It's amazing. And that jailer and his family were baptized. So, let's take a look at the story and diagnose it for the uncertainties and the certainties in there. First of all, the uncertainties. Arrest and jail. Maybe that's not an uncertainty, because just about everywhere Paul went, he got arrested and he went to jail or he got beat up. But it happened quite often. But he didn't go to Philippi to be arrested. The earthquake. This was a terrible thing, a scary thing that God used for good. And earthquakes happen regularly. Not just the Richter scale version, but earthquakes that shake up your life. About 5 years ago or so, as I was waking up and praying early in the morning, God said something to me. And I hope God never says this to you. But he said, things are going to get a little bumpy. God was not exaggerating. And for the next, I think about a year, it was one thing after another. It was like, oh man, it was an earthquake that lasted for about a year. Everybody survived, just so you know. But you've had those kind of earthquakes in your life. You've had seasons where it's been one thing after another, and you're shaken to your core. That's the uncertainties of life. But there's also certainties. There's joy. They were singing hymns to God. Where does joy come from? Joy is not happiness. Happiness depends on what's happening. Joy is a future reality experienced in the present. In fact, we're going to be taking a look at joy. Our our Christmas series this year that starts in December is called Christmas Joy. And so we're going to be looking in detail at joy and how we can have the kind of joy that Paul and Silas had, how we can have that joy in our lives. And we learn that in the Christmas story. But everywhere Paul went, he had joy. It was constant. In fact, this was Philippi. There's a letter that Paul wrote called Philippians. It was a letter he wrote to the church that was here. And when Paul wrote that letter, he was in prison. What does he talk about more than anything else in the book of Philippians? Joy. Joy. We can have joy in the midst of difficulty, just like Paul did. So what about you? Does that kind of joy exist in your life? Or are you, well, I'm happy now, now I'm sad, and I'm happy and I'm sad, and I'm happy and I'm sad. Joy is like this. You know, you have joy, you can be happy. You don't need joy when you're happy, but when everything else is going wrong, you can have joy because it's not based on what's happening around you. It's based on a future reality. What's another certainty? Sharing the good news. Everywhere Paul went, he shared the good news. That was certain. What about you? Is that certain in your life? Are you asking for opportunities to share the good news? Last Sunday, I challenged you to do something bold this week. And so how many of you said you did your assignment and you did something bold last week? Look at that. Good. I did too. Scared me. And it worked out so far so good. So, share the good news. That's this good news is certain. And then changed lives came out of that. Because of joy and because of sharing the good news, lives were changed. And lives are still being changed. I wish we could go back and you could trace the jailer and his family. And they were believers, and they were believers, and just trace it back and see all the people that are a part of the family of faith that came to faith because of that jailer and his family. Wouldn't that be cool to know that? Let's say, as a result of your life, you've invested in two people. You've helped two people come to faith. In the 70 to 80 years you have on this blue marble, two people come to faith. And you disciple them, and you love them, and you help them, and encourage them. Just two people. And over the years, they talk to people, and they lead people. The impact you have on the world will be immeasurable. What God is asking you to do is not too hard for you. God has said that to his people often. It's not too hard for you. What would the world look like? What would Kosciuszko County look like? What would Warsaw look like if each one of us did that? That each one of us, none of us is the Apostle Paul, but God has given each one of us gifts and abilities that we can use. And in the certainties and uncertainties of life, we can speak up. We can share good news. We can have joy and see lives change. What's the bottom line? What ties all that together? Here it is. I need faith. I need to grow my faith. Faith is knowing that God is here, knowing that God is working when I can't see any evidence that he's at work. Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch Christian watchmaker who, along with her family, helped hundreds of Jews escape during World War II. And they hid them in their home. They had a hollow wall, and they would hide Jews, and then they'd help them escape. And in 1944, somebody betrayed them, and Corrie and her family were arrested. Her and her sister Bessie went to Ravensbrück, the concentration camp, and her father and her sister Bessie died there in captivity, but Corrie survived because of a clerical error. Before she was to be executed, she was released from prison. After the war, the guards that abused her and her sister came knocking at her door looking for food, and she fed them, and she served them, and she forgave them. And God has used Corrie to speak all over the world. How could she survive? Here's how she could survive. Notice this quote from Corrie. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. We can trust God. We can trust God. The Word of God and the promises of God that are contained there are what will sustain us in uncertainty. Would you stand with me? Let's pray together. Would you pray with me? God, increase our faith. God, help us to face the future, the uncertain future, with joy. Father, help us to learn your word, to learn your promises, to stand in faith on your promises. Thank you for what you're doing. But more than that, thank you for what you're going to do through us as we step out in faith and live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.